How about your daughter? How come it's always poor folk who get shuffled off to slaughter? If you're so gung-ho, why don't you just go? In August of 05, a mighty voice did rise. She lost her precious son, and it can't be undone. She went to see the king, a downright simple thing. She thought she'd tell him all the depth of a mother's love. How about your son? How about your daughter? How come it's always poor folk who get shuffled off to slaughter?
That's Jesse Dyan. He's one of the people who congregated at Camp Casey in Crawford, Texas, last August. And it's a powerful song called Sons and Daughters. Brad Friedman joins us from bradblog.com, and the music supplied today by Bradblog. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Peter. How are you? Hey, thanks for playing that. Love that song. Great song, as you said, by Jesse Dyan. He wrote it for Camp Casey, and it's a great opportunity to play it as we head into yet another Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, it's important to think about that. And you're going to post this with a video up on Bradblog this weekend?
Yeah, actually, a couple weeks ago, he finally released it online with with some great footage from Camp Casey, and I thought over the weekend was a good opportunity to run that video. I'll have that at bradblog.com, along with some other interesting material, an audio excerpt from Paul Rykoff's new book. Sorry about that. Paul Rykoff from the Iraq-Afghanistan Vets. He's got a new book, Chasing Ghosts.
Oh, yeah. He was on our show this past Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
What a powerful hour that was. His voice is unique and well-informed, and he's an incredible advocate for the people who have or are currently serving in Iraq.
He really is. He's a great hero, so I'm happy to help plug that book a little bit and get that audio out. And by the way, when you had him on, were you able to get in a word edgewise?
Oh, yeah. It was interesting because, you know, there are two types of people you interview.
Yeah.
The people who give very short answers,
mm-hmm.
and the people who never stop.
Right.
And there is a middle ground.
Yeah, but, well, I think I may be in that latter category, but he was great. The first time I had him on my radio show, I couldn't get in a word edgewise, and we finally just had to go to a break because we had a hard break coming up. And I said to him during the break, I said, hey, I couldn't stop you. He said, you know, I'm so used to being on these right-winger shows where you can't get a word edgewise. I've just learned to just keep talking until they can shut me up.
Yeah. Now, Brad, the other thing that is exciting in the world of his Bradness is your participation in the audiobook of Greg Palast's new Armed Madhouse. Greg's going to be with us on Tuesday.
Oh, great. Yeah. And in fact, last night I posted some clips that Greg had sent me over from the studio sessions from both myself and Ed Asner. We've got those exclusively over at bradblog.com if you want to get an advanced listen to the book and to the audio book, which won't be released until June 6th.
Mm-hmm.
6/6/06.
Now, that was a bit of a challenging read because the way Greg Palast writes is it's a very interesting style. It's a kind of imagined dialogue with the reader.
Yeah, exactly. He's got a very unique voice, which kind of makes it fun because he deals with, you know, a lot of very, as you know, deals with a lot of very difficult topics, but the way he writes is so interesting and, dare I say, playful at times. That makes it fun and interesting, and takes some topics that might otherwise be dull and dry, and certainly kicks a lot of life into them.
Yeah.
So,
and he, of course, has been front and center on the Enron story and the verdicts in Houston this week, kind of brought him back into media attention. And I spent some time. Greg Palast, by the way, there's a link to his website at the KRXA540.com website. And the other night I went and saw one of the video pieces he produced for the BBC. 9 minutes long, would never make it on the air in America, and it was powerful. We got to take a break, and we'll be back with Brad on the Peter B. Collins Show.
From progressive talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
The Del Monte Cafe features authentic American food carefully prepared at very reasonable prices. Hungry for delicious omelets, pancakes, sandwiches, and pasta dishes? Come visit us for breakfast and lunch at the Del Monte Cafe, located at 1642 Del Monte Boulevard in Seaside. We're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 7:30 to 2 p.m. For takeout orders, call us at 394-7851. That's 394-7851, the Del Monte Cafe, 1642 Del Monte Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley with Talking Matters this Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540. You'll want to tune in for the art of storytelling. Do you know the difference between a myth, a fairy tale, and a fable? Gay Ducey and Sandra Noman, our storytelling guests, will tell you. What you'll hear will touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. Gay will share her experience about being a guest on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Sharon has fascinating things to say about how storytelling fits into her life and work. Hear how stories help to amuse, educate, inspire, and change us. Could you become a great storyteller? Keep listening and we'll keep talking about things that matter. My shows are archived on joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y. Join us for The Art of Storytelling this Saturday at 3 on Talking Matters.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with a brand new reality radio show every Saturday evening, 6 to 7, right here on AM 540 KRXA. We'll have colorful, interesting guests and we'll take your calls. There's no subject we won't explore together. So join us this Saturday night, 6 to 7, on Reality Radio with Sheila Gale on Progressive Talk Radio, AM 540 KRXA.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
By exploring nature with friends, children can continue to learn through the summer while having fun. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me and my guests to talk about summer activities for your family. Call us at some of your favorite things to do with children during the summer.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Tom Hartman. When Thomas Jefferson wrote Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness into the Declaration of Independence in 1776, it was the first time in the history of the world that the word happiness had been used in the founding document of any so-called civilized nation.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And Ronald Reagan was the guy who began to take it apart. He was the perfect frontman for really what was fundamentally a vicious idea.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Okay, I pressed the button, and I'm waiting to hear Neil Young. We try to get all our technical problems out in one single day. Just got an email from a Latina friend of mine pointing out that many Hispanics have served our country honorably in the military over the years. And in this time of immigration rhetoric, I just like to say, gracias, amigos. That's Neil Young and the title song from the powerful new protest CD called Living with War. We're visiting with Brad Friedman, proprietor of bradblog.com, which was the first place that I heard a piece of Neil Young's new CD. Brad, you're just all over the place and on top of it.
I know. I need a nap. I need a nap. I need a break. Holiday weekend coming up.
And you going to take a little time off, or will the news not permit that?
Well, you know what? I can't decide. I'm hoping that it's a quiet news weekend, and I may either catch up with a whole bunch of stuff that needs catching up on, or I'll just take some time off entirely. Haven't yet decided.
Well, I urge you to take a little time off and recharge. Today was kind of quiet around here, and I cleaned up all these newspaper clippings to fill up my office and studio. And it just feels so good.
You actually clip newspapers?
Yes, I do. I'm over the hill.
Wow.
I also print out things from the Internet so that they're there when I'm looking for them, and I don't have to go clicking around madly all over the place to try to find them a second time.
Understood. That definitely makes sense. So, yeah, I do hope to take some time off. We'll see, though. Often it's the news driving me rather than the other way around. So
now, I don't make enough doing this radio show, and I was thinking of signing up with Kelly Services to do a little work on Election Day.
Oh, yeah, good idea.
Now, you posted an ad on Bradblog earlier this week, and, well, you took a little heat over it. Explain.
Well, it turns out that the folks up in San Francisco placed an ad seeking poll workers for the upcoming primary election on June 6th, seeking folks to drop off and pick up electronic voting machines around San Francisco. Now, interestingly enough, you may recall that when it was discovered recently that Diebold voting machines were hackable via their memory cards, Secretary of State Bruce McPherson came out and said, well, we're going to go ahead and use those machines anyway. We're just going to implement these rigid physical security procedures so nobody can possibly have access, unsupervised access, to these voting machines. Well, as it turns out, it looks like folks will have access to voting machines, electronic voting machines in San Francisco, if they take up the Kelly Services ad that was posted on Monster.com for $11.99 per hour. You can pick up these voting machines and drop them off and apparently have complete and unsupervised, total unsupervised access to these machines. And you can do whatever you want, I guess. So much for those rigid security procedures. As for the heat I've taken, I'm not even sure what heat I have taken. Maybe you can tell me.
I thought you got a little pushback from McPherson's crew.
No, not yet. As far as I know, the last I checked, actually today, the ad has come down. It's no longer up on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
The only heat that I suppose you might suggest is that it turns out San Francisco uses ES&S voting machines primarily, as opposed to Diebold machines. In my report, I didn't really speak about what type of machines they used up there, but rather to say that, you know, nobody we have seen should have unsupervised access to these voting machines ever. They are just that hackable and unsecure. So to pretty much, you know, throw open the doors and allow anyone who needs a job for $11.99 an hour to, you know, have access to our election systems when we've now learned that access to a single machine can affect an entire election countywide is just insane, isn't it?
And for hardworking, responsible, punctual people to assist in dropping off election voting machines and picking these machines up when voting is complete, must be able to lift these election machines, approximately 40 pounds, with little assistance. Access to private transportation is highly recommended. Can't you just see somebody getting on BART, you know, with a hand truck with voting machines on the, you know, and just, well, yeah, I didn't have a car, but I needed the work. Now, Brad, one of the things that occurs to me here is that this type of work has typically been done either by civil servants in the election department of a given municipality or county, or they hire citizens to perform these duties at the polls on election day. But isn't this a new level of outsourcing to go to Kelly Services, a temporary employment agency, and outsource this? Shouldn't it be properly outsourced to Diebold or ES&S?
Well, yes, one would think, but this may have actually come from ES&S, who, by the way, has just failed, in election after election in just these first couple of months of the year, these primary elections. ES&S has been an absolute disaster, not showing up, not having enough workers, and so forth. Now, I spoke just before coming on the air with a couple of folks in the San Francisco Board of Elections who said that they don't outsource it, that they, in fact, bring on their own workers. But if there was an ad posted out there, that would be one of their vendors who had done that. In this case, they say that would have been ES&S. So apparently ES&S has brought on Kelly Temporary Services to go out and find people to work for them on Election Day.
And accountability gets lost in the shuffle. We outsource, and then the outsourcers subcontract. And who's in charge of those people?
Nobody's in charge. This is what we found this week in Arkansas, where they just had a disaster with their elections. The entire state is largely an ES&S state. And as it turns out, it was such a meltdown that yesterday, and it was yesterday or the day before, ES&S completely replaced the entire management team out there in Arkansas. They're promising to bring in a new team to figure out what the hell went wrong and to try and get things together very quickly, because in Arkansas, they had their election last Tuesday, but this coming Tuesday now, they start their early voting for runoff elections. They're still trying to count all the votes from last Tuesday. They had such a mess. How they're going to be able to turn it around and reprogram all of these electronic machines again in time for early voting on Tuesday, it just doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Well,
this is another unforeseen consequence of electronic voting.
Brad, given your technical expertise, it's shocking that I would remind you of this.
Yes.
But they can control all those machines centrally.
Well, you're right.
They'll be able to do that over the weekend. You know, just write the code once and hit click.
Yeah, well, but J. Kenneth Blackwell may be busy this weekend. So
I see.
He can't do everything. You know?
One more note about San Francisco. You may recall that in the last mayoral election in the city by the bay, it was very, very close between Gavin Newsom and Matt Gonzalez, a Green Party challenger, and it went into runoff mode. And Newsom narrowly won victory, and about a week later, some boxes with uncounted ballots were found floating on the bay. Now, I can just wait to see, the day after Election Day in June. We'll go out on the bay, Brad, and see if we can fish out some ES&S machines.
Well, it's interesting. I've had people at BradBlock, commenters, who for quite some time have been talking about a Boston Tea Party of some sort where they toss these damn machines out into the water. I wouldn't be surprised. But, you point up a difference. You can track when a box of paper ballots disappeared. You know that they're gone. What you don't know with these electronic voting machines is when they've been hacked and tampered with, you'll think you've got completely accurate results, and there's really no way to find out that an entire election has been thrown. That's the difference. Look, people have been trying to game elections for as long as there's been democracies. That's nothing new. The difference is the ease at which it can now be done, and that is just getting worse and worse around the country, and we're seeing examples of it, and it's still stunningly not being accurately covered, even with a lot of reports of late. Last weekend, we had NPR jumped in on the weekend edition and actually filed a terrific report. I'll go ahead and take some credit on that since I spoke with them before the report and advised them a little bit on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's available for listening at Brad Blog along with the transcript. And then at the beginning of the week, Stephen Levy of Newsweek also covered the issue, did an okay job, made a couple of fairly important errors, but the point being that I think it's important now that this that the issue gets out there at all. MSNBC covered it yesterday as well. So it's getting out there, whether it's getting out there accurately or effectively is another matter, and whether the politicians are going to actually do anything about it is another question, although it's a question that we can probably answer with a big fat no, since they don't seem to be doing a damn thing about it for the most part.
All right, it's time for a break here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll continue with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. We're going to go to the phones in the next segment, so get on the line if you'd like to talk with us. The toll-free line is your best bet at 1-888-579-2540, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
We're going. Tom Hartman.
And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented us from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
This is KRXA 540 AM General Manager Hal Ginsberg with an important announcement about an exciting change in our weekday morning lineup. Casey, cut it out. This is very important. I'm trying to tell people about the show, our new program following Stephanie Miller, weekday mornings.
First of all, you're going to have to wake people up, Hal.
Aha, very funny. Just what we would expect from the number one morning news anchor in Sand City. So join Hal and Casey for the show.
I thought it was going to be Casey and Hal.
I changed it, which is my prerogative.
Your what?
Look it up! And please, join us weekday mornings from 9 to 10 for the show.
It's KRXA 540 at 546 on this Friday afternoon. I just got good news from Sparky in engineering at KRXA. That is, we're back on the air. The transmitter's been on all afternoon, but the signal wasn't able to get from the studio to the transmitter because of a telephone outage. And I want to thank the folks at the old SBC, now AT&T. Sure, they gave my phone records to the government, and I'm still pissed about that. But I'm delighted that they quickly got us back in action here. And I want to thank Carl and Ron and Hal and everybody else who worked all afternoon to get it fixed. And ordinarily, we have a traffic report here, but we gave Amy Knight the afternoon off. She'll be back with us on Tuesday. Monday, you'll hear arguably the best of Peter B. Collins. 3 hours of recent programs as I enjoy a day off and a barbecue with the family. So we're delighted to be back on the air, and now we know it wasn't caused by the NSA. Joe, go ahead and hit that song. This is another tune provided by Brad today. It's kind of a bluesy thing.
Oh, yeah, you gotta go to the blog. I recommend the bradblog.com. Or maybe verified voting. Or votersunite.org. Or Democratic Underground. Or Black Box Voting. Go check those things out. Then you hear about how we need this election reform.
That's a nice message to a blues election beat reform. From Shannon Willifer. It's called Election Reform. And you can grab it for yourself at bradblog.com. That's a great tune, Brad.
It is, and I'm pretty sure it's probably the first blues tune ever to include the word blogs in it.
I think you're right. You know, recently Donald Rumsfeld was giving a news conference, and he talked about how different things are in this era, this war. And he said, you know, we've got digital cameras. We've got blogs. And the way he said blogs, it sounded like his lunch was coming up right behind it.
Well, given all the trouble that he's had because we do have digital cameras and everything that came out in Abu Ghraib, I'm not surprised he feels that way. And, of course, why not? Take it out on the blogs. Take it out on the bloggers. Everything that goes wrong, let's blame the people that actually talk about it, not blame the people that actually do it. Why should we do that?
Well, because it distracts people and allows them to continue doing what they're doing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Hey, speaking of distraction, I just want to give a plug, as long as we're giving some plugs this weekend, to Shannon Williford. DeliciousBluesStew.com is his website. And that's a great tune, Election Reform, and you can find it at Brad Blog, of course.
DeliciousBluesStew.com.
That's it.
All right, cool. Jake's with us.
From Tennessee.
Hello, Jake from Arcata. Welcome to the program today. Oh, we lost him. He was here and he was back and now he's gone. Okay, Jake, if you want to call, we'll talk to you. Now, Brad, your pal John Gideon did some guest blogging for you this week, and the focus in at least part was Mississippi. What's going on there with voting machine scams?
Well, you know, they're having all kinds of problems, of course. I mean, look, they all are. Everywhere. Everybody is having problems with these damn voting machines. You may recall, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, that I ran a video of the Secretary of State of Mississippi, who was in a public meeting with a Diebold representative, and the folks wanted to ask him questions about it. It was from 2005. He didn't want to take any questions. He said, well, I'm going to leave my assistant in charge here. I'm leaving now. But as far as security on these machines go, he said, and I'm trying to remember the quote exactly, but something along the lines of these machines were secure even before they added a paper trail. They are the most secure thing outside of a Wells Fargo truck. I'm wondering if he's going to be eating his words now as they're beginning to have problems again in Mississippi. And their elections, I think their elections are coming up shortly. It's just, you know, we've seen this all around the country where these guys, you know, they have no reason to, no evidence for it, but the voting machine manufacturers tell them, oh, these things are fine, everything is under control, and don't listen to those crazy bloggers that Don Rumsfeld tells you about. Don't listen to them. They don't know what they're talking about. And then they're proven wrong in these elections, and then they turn around and they try to figure out who to blame, and ultimately they end up going back and blaming the manufacturers, as they should have in the first place, because the manufacturers are screwing up left and right. Now, had they listened to guys like me and John Gideon and all the rest who have been, you know, making noise, yelling and screaming, and you, frankly, Peter, thank you for, you know, being willing to talk about this each week. Very few people are. They would probably not be having these problems, but they're having them in a big way. So we're seeing lawsuit after lawsuit, investigation after investigation. And I don't even know where we're going to be by the time we get to November.
Well, in that comparison to a Wells Fargo truck, he obviously isn't aware of that incident. I think it was about 2 years ago. And a Wells Fargo, I'm pretty sure it was one of their armored vehicles.
Yes.
A guy got on an overpass, jumped onto the top of the trailer. It was a tractor trailer rig, and was able to, apparently with some help from an insider, to penetrate the trailer. And he hopped in, opened the rear door, and started throwing money out to a pickup truck behind him.
I remember that. Yeah, so, well, then maybe Secretary of State Clark was right. Maybe these are just about as secure as a Wells Fargo truck.
All right, Jake's with us now. Jake, welcome to the program.
Hey, Peter, how's it going?
Not too bad.
Hey, I'd just like to ask Brad for his opinion on some of the recent reports from ABC's Brian Ross. You know, first there was the report that the NSA was tracking phone calls of reporters to uncover their sources, whistleblowers inside the government. And then Brian Ross, you know, just reported that Dennis Hastert apparently is part of this Abramoff bribery scandal. What have you heard about this, Brett?
Yeah, interesting that you ask about that because the day that all broke, I actually spoke that night with Jason Leopold, who I know is a guest of Peter's on Tuesdays. And he had put out the reports of Rove being indicted. He was interested to learn the way that ABC story had come about, where you had ABC reporting that, in fact, Hastert was under investigation. The DOJ comes out and says, no, it's not true. Hastert's office demands a retraction from ABC News, and ABC News says, no, we stand by our reporting. That is essentially what has gone on with Jason Leopold and Truth Out's coverage of the Karl Rove indictment. They're still standing by that story. We'll be learning some information, I think, in the next couple of weeks about it, of course. But here you have another case where these guys are trying to intimidate reporters and tell them, you know, knock it off. We're going to they're talking about suing ABC right now, and I'm glad to see that ABC is standing up for themselves and not rolling over and saying, oh, we're sorry, we retract it, because their sources, I'm told, are good on this story.
And, Brad, you have two key items back-to-back here posted on Wednesday, pardon me, at bradblog.com. One is related to Dennis Hastert, and that is the story that you and I got originally from Sybil Edmonds, the FBI whistleblower, which suggests that Dennis Hastert was the beneficiary of campaign contributions that were made, I think, at a $199 level, because if it's $200 or more, you have to report where the money came from. And there were tons of these bundled $199 or less contributions that totaled into the six figures. I think it was like $150,000 that went into Hastert's campaign in this manner. And the suggestion is that these were contributions that were bundled by some murky sources in the Middle East.
Yes, and mind you, as you know, Sybil is not able to speak about everything that she heard. She's under a bit of a gag order, but everything that she heard while working as a translator at the FBI. And she has called on Hastert's office. This was sometime, I guess, back in February, at least, when we covered it at Bradblog. She's called on Hastert's office to come clean on the $500,000 that he has in unitemized campaign donations.
So it's that much? It's half a million?
It's half a million, yeah.
Wow.
Now, not that they're all necessarily related to the same point, but he has, I believe there was only one other person in Congress who had a larger amount of unitemized contributions. I'm not even going to say the name because I can't remember who it was for sure, but...
You can just imagine Dennis Hastert is out there spending that money at a 99-cent store.
No, you don't think so?
Now, the other item that I think is connected here to what Jake raised is about Dick Cheney being in the sights of Patrick Fitzgerald. And this at least is one plausible scenario for the delay in unsealing what Jason Leopold has reported to be the grand jury's indictments of Karl Rove.
Yeah.
And my guess is that they're sweating Rove and that Cheney is now the real target. We saw the release of the evidence, the annotated handwritten notes from Dick Cheney on an actual copy of the New York Times op-ed by Joe Wilson. And so it seems to me, and I want to be clear that I'm speculating, that Cheney is now not necessarily a quote-unquote target of the investigation, but is clearly a focus of Patrick Fitzgerald's activities. And again, my speculation is that they're sweating Karl Rove in an effort to get more goods on Dick Cheney.
I think your speculation makes a lot of sense. It's similar to some of the things that I've been hearing, and in fact, David Schuster over at MSNBC has been reporting as well that Cheney is becoming more and more of a focus here. I should add that I've been able to talk to quite a few folks who are essentially confirming the reports that Jason Leopold has made over at Truth Out. Now, I haven't gotten them from any sources directly, so I want to make that clear. But the people that I've spoken to have gotten them from direct sources, and they say that Leopold had the story right. Therefore, what's the delay in all of this coming out and what you're talking about and, you know, the focus on really the bigger fish here, who would be Dick Cheney, could very well be what is at play.
And at that note, let's all go fishing over the long weekend, Brad.
I think I will.
See what we come up with. Trigger's here, so I got to hop on and ride out. Thanks a lot for joining me. We'll talk again next week. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com.
Happy trails to you. Until until we meet again. Happy trails.